looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 30, preaching through the Steps of Faith series, and there's no other verse in Hebrews 11 that more accurately relates to the title of our series, Steps of Faith, than verse number 30, where it refers to the walls of Jericho falling down, and we know that they marched steps around Jericho for 7 days. In between verse number 29 of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 30 of Hebrews chapter 11, there is a 40-year gap. So in verse number 29, it's referring to that time where they crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptians were killed coming behind them and they were delivered. In verse number 30, it's talking about them battling in Jericho 40 years later. Between those two events was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And God didn't have one thing to say about faith during those 40 years. Between verses 29 and 30. And so, I want to remind you today that without faith, no victories can be won. Without faith, no progress can be made. As a church without faith, we cannot see the hand of God without faith. We must attempt the impossible in order for God to do the impossible. I wonder in your own life, as we start this message, I wonder how many months or years of your life record no acts of God because no steps of faith. No progress can be made. No growth in a Christian's life can be made without faith. The people of Israel had just crossed over the Jordan River. That was a step of faith when they had to cross the Jordan River and had entered the promised land only to come up on the walls of Jericho. Jericho's capture was absolutely necessary before Israel could make any progress in the land of Canaan. Jericho was the enemy's stronghold in Israel's day. Jericho was considered the greatest walled fortress of all time. It was a military citadel that was unparalleled. There was nothing like it in that day. It's said that the two walls that went up, the four walls, two walls 32 feet high and 20 feet thick around that walled city. I did not have the opportunity to visit Jericho on my trip to Israel. However, the trip in 2018 that we're taking, for those that are going in the church, we will be visiting Jericho. I did put that stop in on that trip that's coming up because I would like to see the city of Jericho. From a human perspective, it was inconquerable. It was impossible. It was impregnable. It was the strongest, most fortified city in Palestine in the day. If it was defeated, all of the other cities would be a downhill fight. If it was taken, the land would be split in half. The kingdoms of the north and south would not be able to unite. May I make application this morning that I believe believers have walled cities that we look at in our lives, a place of hopeless defeat that we don't think we can conquer, a barrier that stands in the way of us really growing in our faith. There comes a time in everyone's life when one is faced with what seems like an impossible task or an impossible situation. It could be taking a new position on the job. It could be a financial collapse. It could be recovering from a deadly illness or facing a deadly illness in your life. It could be rebuilding a relationship. It could be reaching a goal. It could be starting a business. It could be walking closer with the Lord. But it seems like an impossible task. Christian, get this morning. A Christian won't walk the path of faith very far before you are challenged with a Jericho that defies all of your natural resources and reasoning in order to win the battle or see the walls come down, to solve the problem, to meet the need, to reconcile the relationship We live with Jerichos. I'm preaching this morning on this thought, facing your Jericho. Facing your Jericho. Formidable difficulties, inner struggles, powerful obstacles are put in our path, on the path of faith, by God. You're facing a Jericho, and without victory over it, your progress is impeded. You can't go around it. You can't seem to ignore it. You can't escape it. It's a Jericho, and it's facing you, and you're living with it. What is your Jericho? It shouts at you in defiance when you think about it. Maybe it's a besetting sin that seems to haunt you, and you can't seem to get victory. The devil uses it on you time and time again because it works so well with you. For others, it might be an attitude that you just can't seem to get over. You can't be freed from in your life. What is your Jericho? Could it be guilt over past sin that you face and live with on a daily basis? Could it be unable to bear children? Could it be a broken relationship? Could it be a failing marriage? Could it be you keep going back into depression over and over and over again? Your Jericho. Listen to me this morning. Everybody faces a Jericho. Everybody faces a Jericho. Preacher, I've made some laps around my Jericho. I've prayed. I've claimed promises at times. I've fasted, but my Jericho is still there. You know what? The devil wants you to see your Jericho as bigger than what it really is. When you come to Jericho in your life, you have two choices. You can face it or you can flee from it. You can either face it and respond in faith, or you can flee from it. For the children of Israel to flee, there was only one place for them to go. That was back to the wilderness. They were in Canaan. If they didn't deal with Jericho, they were going back where they came from after 40 years of wandering. They had to face their Jericho. My friend, you have to face your Jericho too. We have to face our Jerichos. Victory for Israel at Jericho was not achieved through fighting, but rather it was achieved by faith. Shirley wrote, "When God has a big job to do, He always gives faith the contract." This morning, I want to give you four thoughts in regards to facing your Jericho. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." If you're born of God, if you're born again this morning, if you're saved, the Bible says that which is born of God overcometh the world. And what is the victory that overcometh the world? It is our faith. So how do we demonstrate faith when facing a Jericho? Number one, remember your company. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5, if you will. Joshua chapter 5. Remember, 40 years prior to this, the previous generation went over into the land of Canaan. And when they went over into the land of Canaan, they saw giants. They saw people that were too strong. And they saw all of the intimidating factors that the enemy would want them to see. And they came back with a negative report. And the negative report kept the people of Israel from going into Canaan. Now they are in Canaan 40 years later, and they're facing Jericho. They're facing an impenetrable city. They're facing something that by all human standards, you would argue there's no way to take down the city. There's no way to have victory over this city. They're facing what they faced 40 years ago. But this being the next generation. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Here Joshua is out in the field, and he's on a scouting mission, surveying the situation. Remember, 40 years ago, he was on the same mission. And remember the report that he came back with? He came back with Caleb and said, We can do this. We can't do this of ourselves, but with God, we can do this. Now he's at Jericho again, and he's scouting out the mission that's ahead. He looks up at those high walls of Jericho, and no doubt, trying to strategize as the general of Israel's army, he turns to see a man that comes out of nowhere. In fact, he doesn't recognize the man. He doesn't even know whose side the man is on. He asks the man the question, Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And the person responds with an interesting answer, No. He didn't give him one way or the other. But he did announce himself as captain of the host of the Lord. Joshua asked the first logical question that all of you and I would ask. Wait a second, who are you and whose side are you on? We probably would have asked a similar question. Who is this mysterious character? It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ making an appearance in the Old Testament. The reason we know that is because Joshua fell down and worshiped him. If it would have been an angel would not have received that worship. But he told Joshua to loose his shoes. He was standing on holy ground. We believe he was standing before Christ. When you realize you cannot get victory in your life over Jericho, it's time to remember your company that is with you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and see victory happen through Christ by faith. When you've tried everything in your marriage and nothing is working, there's great news for you this morning. And that is, you have somebody alongside of you. You have the captain of the host of the Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. And you can release your Jericho to Christ. When you're drowning in debt and you don't know what to do, you can remember your company. His name is Jesus Christ. When you're restless and worry overwhelms you, you can remember your company. See, the company was necessary for Joshua to remember and see before Joshua took any steps of faith. Brethren, if you don't remember God, it'll be difficult to take steps of faith in your life. If you do not remember who God is, and you do not have appointments with God, where God's speaking to you and you're speaking to God, and God's building up your faith, it'll be difficult to take steps of faith that include risks. But God made sure that there was an appointment with Joshua. He had a divine appointment. There are two things we need when facing a Jericho. We need encouragement, and we need instruction. And when the Lord Jesus appeared to Joshua, and Joshua recognized that it was a divine appointment, that God was coming on the scene, there was encouragement, I believe, but there was also instruction as to how to handle Jericho. Looking at the walls would lead to fear, but looking at God would lead to faith. Though sometimes the Jerichos in our lives change, get this, the company never changes. Though sometimes the Jerichos change, sometimes the walls, sometimes the difficulties change, sometimes the impossibilities change in our lives, I want you to be comforted and encouraged this morning that the company that's with us never changes. In your Jericho, God has divine appointments set up. Don't miss them. In your Jericho, don't minimize those times where God needs to meet with you. Because they are times where you will find encouragement, and they are times in which you will find instruction. They're important times in your life. It's a daily time in His Word. That's an important divine appointment when you're facing a Jericho. It's an important divine appointment every day. But when you're facing a Jericho, it's all the more important. I remember the day that we lost our daughter in 2008. I remember being at the funeral and people coming up, and I remember a number of our teenagers coming up, and I looked them in the eye and I said this: don't wait to develop a walk with God until a tragedy hits. You need that daily divine appointment before a Jericho comes in your life. You need to be used to God talking to you, and you talking to God, and you hearing from God. That's important in your life. Don't miss that divine appointment. Maybe it's taking time to review a verse for the week. You know, a verse for the week, just one verse that you can carry with you, can oftentimes come to your mind throughout the week and be a blessing to you and help you fight off the fiery darts of the wicked. Choir, don't miss your choir practices. Don't miss your times where you get those songs in your heart that God uses throughout the week and uses as you face your Jerichos. Don't miss those appointments. Sunday school teachers, those lessons that you are preparing, don't take shortcuts. Oftentimes those lessons are for you and for me before they're for anybody else. They help us to face our Jerichos. Don't miss the church service on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. They're divine appointments. They're there for encouragement and instruction as you face the Jerichos of life. By the way, when you're facing a Jericho, sometimes it's important to create more appointments. Sometimes you live by a schedule and you have your morning devotions, and maybe you take time to read a passage at night before you go to bed or meditate on something or read a devotional. But sometimes there needs to be some unscheduled appointments where you just stop life and say, okay, Lord, just need to talk to you today. Just need to talk to you about this today that's come up. Just need to talk to you about the Jericho of my life. Just need to spend some more time with you. Lord, need some encouragement today. Need some instruction today on how to handle this matter in my life. Don't miss divine appointments. Some people spend their whole lives gazing up at the walls of their Jericho and saying, it can't be done. It can't be done. It can't fall. It's never going to change. He'll never come to church. My finances will never come around. My child will never get right with God. My marriage will never change. My guilt will always be with me. But I urge you this morning, if you're thinking that way, remember your company. He's the captain of the host of the Lord. He's the ultimate general. He's all powerful. When he came to Joshua, he announced himself with that title, saying, I'm on the military, I'm in charge of the spiritual military. And you will win. You'll see the walls come down. Remember your company. Number two, rely on your company. Rely on your company. The key in facing your Jericho is not counseling. It's not dialoguing. The key is faith. There's a difference between remembering and relying. Remembering means I call to mind. It means that I don't forget. It means that I remind myself over and over that the Lord is with me, that the captain of the Lord of hosts is on my side. I'm on His side. But relying on your company means that you take time to listen and then obey. If we're going to face our Jericho and win, then we must remember our company, but we must rely upon our company. Walls come down when God moves in. But until God moves in, you'll just chip away and frustration will fill your heart. We must rely upon the Lord. I want you to see the passage of Scripture, if you will, because God gives instruction. Go back to chapter 5, Joshua chapter 5, maybe you're already there, and look at verse number 14. And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto this servant?" Notice that the captain of the Lord came, and he came at a moment in time. He gave Joshua a specific instruction. The instruction that he began with was not a strategy of how to take the walls down. The instruction he began with was worship. Before you can act in faith, you need to fall down and worship. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Isn't it true that sometimes in our Jerichos, we go to God begging, but don't worship? Here, his instruction was to worship God. Go to chapter 6, if you will, and look at verses 1 through 5. So Joshua follows his instruction. He relies upon the Lord. He listened to the Lord, and he obeyed the Lord at the end of chapter 5. Now in chapter number 6, it tells us of the status of Jericho. And the Lord said unto Joshua in verse number 2, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." By the way, when you take time to worship God and you see the worth of God in your life, when God gives instructions, you have much more faith to follow those instructions. That's why worship is important first. In your prayer life, sir, ma'am, is worship a part of it right now? Or is it all consumed with Jericho? Because the instruction given, the reliance began with Joshua taking time to worship the Lord. Now he gives instruction in verses 2 through 5, and says, "And ye shall," verse 3, "ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark of 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall send up every man straight before him." Remembering your company is one thing, but relying on your company is something else. Joshua had to get the plans from God, and they were specific, and they weren't according to reason. They weren't dig a tunnel under the walls. They weren't take the ladders and put them so that you can climb the walls. They weren't things that you and I would think of. It was a totally different plan. That the people of Jericho, looking down on Israel as they're marching around, would probably mock and laugh at. But Joshua relied upon God. He got the plans from God. Joshua had experience in battles with Moses. He had some experience in battles. But often we face battles and walls in our lives and Jerichos that we haven't faced before. God generally doesn't take us through the exact Jericho that we faced last time. The exact battle that we faced in the past. Usually, it's a bigger Jericho. Usually, it's a more desperate Jericho. If this was not the case, believer, then there would be no need to rely on your company. If it was something that you faced before, if it was something that you handled, if it was something that you got victory in the past, then why the need to go through it again? You would be tempted not to rely upon your company. But because it was Jericho, Joshua relied on God. Can I say this to you this morning? God loves to get involved in our Jerichos. He loves to come on the scene. In order to rely on God, it may mean taking a step that might look foolish to others. It may mean God will take us on a detour before bringing victory. It may mean a longer struggle than we desire. Relying on God doesn't mean just hearing, but it means obeying. Now let's enter Joshua's mind for a moment. Right? Think with me. Put your thinking caps on. Okay, I've looked at the walls. I have no idea how these walls are going to come down. God, now you're telling me to mark, let me get it right, one time around the walls for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, seven times around the walls. Now, Lord, that, I don't know what that's going to do. But we're going to do it. Have you ever been in a situation where, I don't know how it's going to work, but we're supposed to do it? You and I want reason. We want evidence. We want explanation. But God says march. You know, in counseling, I often give steps that are really, really hard, that really violate reason, that violate evidence, that violate a lot of explanation. I give counseling like this: return good for evil. Oh, really? What's that going to do, preacher? I don't know. God says do it. Right. Yeah. I give counsel like return a soft answer for harsh words. Oh, well, isn't that going to make him more angry? I don't know. I just know the Bible says do it. I give counsel like forgive somebody that's done wrong to you. But won't that make me vulnerable? Won't that open the door for them to do wrong to me again? I don't know. But I know what the Bible says. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what you're supposed to do. I give counsel to give your tithe when your bills are more than you take in. Uh-oh. Preacher, how? I don't see how that's going to work. Don't you believe that I'm supposed to pay my bills and be a person that pays my bills on time? Yeah, I do. But God says tithe. And so, you say, preacher, how's it going to work? I don't know how it's going to work out. I just know what you're supposed to do. When counsel like this is given, often it is taken as if they were asked to march around the city for 7 days. Often the counsel is given, the attitude and action reveal this statement: what good is this going to do? Sadly, many times people leave God's instruction and don't rely on his company. And maybe it's because they missed the first step of remembering his company. But the wise realize that God's ways are higher than our ways, and that his thoughts are not our thoughts. And wise people take God at his word and say, I'll follow his word. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm going to follow his word. Amen. It's not our job, believers, to understand it all. It is our job to obey. Amen. We don't have to understand God's commands in order to trust him and obey him. Many times you will not understand it until you do obey. Can you imagine the people? I mean, put yourself at Jericho this morning. One day, no cracks in the walls. Go back to your tent. Second day, we did what we're supposed to do. Don't see anything changing yet, but we did what we're supposed to do. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, lap number one, seventh day, lap number two, seventh day, lap number three, seventh day, all the way to the sixth lap, nothing. Didn't see anything. Seventh lap, walls came down. Third thing when facing a Jericho, remember your company, rely on your company. Third thing, release the results to God. Release the results to God. You must understand that the instructions were detailed. There was a time for them to be silent and there was a time for them to shout. Both were important. Every detail that God gave was important to seeing the walls come down. There had to be a group where someone thought, this isn't going to work. Some maybe thought of other ways. But what's amazing is they all marched. There had to be doubts. There had to be questions. There had to be, wait a second. My mind's running back to 40 years ago when the 10 spies came back and now I'm seeing it. This isn't going to happen. This whole thing's going to, we're going to be defeated. But they did not lean on their own understanding. They followed, believing that God had led them to take Jericho. Otherwise, Jericho would not have been taken. Often I get asked this question, well, what if I do what the Bible says and it doesn't work out? What then? You know that Joshua could not physically affect the results. He and the children of Israel could not make the walls come down, but they could obey God. If Joshua would not have obeyed, I wonder how long they would have lived looking at Jericho. Get this thought. If you're taking notes this morning, write this down. Satan's strongholds cannot stand before a people who are obedient and fully reliant on God. Amen. Let me say it again. Satan's strongholds cannot stand before a people who are obedient and fully reliant on God. The Canaanites were under the dominion of the evil one. But as one author said, God only had to breathe on them. And they collapsed immediately. It was the faith of God's people, though maybe only the size of a mustard seed, that saw their Jericho move and fall down. What about you? Can you release the results to God? Well, if I dwell with my wife according to knowledge and I give honor unto her and she still treats me like a rug and walks all over me, preacher, it didn't work. No, it did work. You obeyed God. That's success. Amen. You followed what God told you to do. What if I tithe and I can't make my next bill and I get a letter from the creditor? You obeyed God. You succeeded. Victory is obeying God by faith. For 6 days, they did what God told them to do without seeing any progress. This was a risk. I mean, if God didn't make the walls come down, they were going to look stupid. They were going to look stupid before their enemy. They were going to look stupid before their children. Joshua's going to look stupid before the whole group of the people. It was a risk to do what they did. Someone said there are three degrees of faith. There's a faith that receives. That's that salvation. Somebody receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's a faith that reckons when you look at the promises of God and you reckon them to be true. And there's a faith that risks. There's a third degree of faith that risks. That is, you dare something for God. David had this kind of faith when he went after Goliath. Moses had this kind of faith when he went before Pharaoh with the plagues. This faith was shown when Elijah went before 400 prophets of Baal and said, you call down your gods and I'll call on my God. You pour water on all the sacrifices. That was risk. Elijah could have fell flat on his face. Faith involves risk. Daniel had this kind of faith when he went into the lion's den instead of compromising his commitment to the Lord. Joshua had this kind of faith when he rallied Israel to march around Jericho. It's the kind of faith that moves us forward in our faith. You or me might have said to him, It doesn't look like you're getting very far there, Joshua. Why are you doing such a foolish thing? You're a general with a whole lot of intelligence, but it doesn't look like you're using it. He would have said to you, you have forgotten that I saw the captain of the host of the Lord. And he told me that headquarters is not in my tent, but it's in heaven. I found out I'm not the general. I happen to be a private in the rear ranks, and I'm taking my orders from the general, who's the captain of the Lord of hosts. Their faith and perseverance are being tested here. Each day they make the circular track and nothing would happen. Day after day, nothing. But then it came. You know, oftentimes, believers, we are tempted to quit on the fourth lap, the fifth lap, the sixth lap of our Jericho. Our reasoning goes often like this: Lord, I've been faithful to you. God, I've been faithful to your church. I've been faithful to serve you. I've been faithful in my devotional life. I've been faithful to give to you, Lord. I've been faithful. Where are you at, God? And God, this isn't working out. I'm not seeing the walls come down. Lord, I'm about ready to give up. Could it be someone's there this morning? You're about ready to give up. Have you ever thought you might be on the sixth lap? You ever thought you might be on the sixth lap of the seventh day? Or halfway around the seventh lap? And victory could be right there. Don't quit. Don't begin to question God. Don't begin to argue with God about Him not being faithful to you. Leave the results to God. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Habakkuk 2:3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. In Acts chapter 1, before they preached at Pentecost, He told them to not depart, but wait for the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Ghost. Great exploits done by God usually require waiting. When God does something great, it usually requires waiting. Waiting time is not wasted time. God's delays are not necessarily denials. Naaman the leper was told to dip 7 times in Jordan to be healed of his leprosy. Each time he came up, he must have looked at himself, thought, man, are they starting to go away? But on the 7th time, he was cured from his leprosy. It's a good thing that Abraham Lincoln wasn't a quitter. He lost 9 elections, lost his fiance, had a nervous breakdown, went bankrupt 2x, all before he became president and helped end the atrocity of slavery. I close. If you've ever watched the high jumpers in the Olympics, you'll realize that there are 2 kinds. The regular high jumper jumps about 7 feet. They run and they throw their backs over the bar, hoping to clear that bar. But there's another kind of high jumper in the Olympics. They're called pole vaulters. They jump about 18 feet high. They run down the runway, stick the pole in a hole, put all their weight on the pole, which bends and then rebounds, lifting them up to a level they could not have reached on their own. Some of us have Jerichos, and we've tried to jump them or take the walls down in the flesh, and it hasn't worked. And what God draws us to in facing our Jericho is to rely on someone that can take us higher than what we could ever do on our own. Amen. Remember your God. Rely on your God. Release the results to him.